Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Oh man, I might need to get my hearing checked, because Let's Hear It for the Boys is back with another episode. I'm Alex.
You need to get something checked. I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we are going to be talking about the third episode of Gen V. Hashtag Woo! Think Brink. If you haven't checked it out on Prime Video, please go watch it, because we're going to spoil the heck out of it. But brief bit of recap before we get into the episode. Leading in here, we have found out a little bit more about why Golden Boy killed himself, as well as killing Brink. Marie has been dubbed the guardian of Godalkin University. Emma, at the end of the episode, was dealing with somebody outing her as, well, she doesn't think she has an eating disorder, but she throws up in order to become small. And that was revealed to the entire campus. She's pretty stricken and upset about that. Meanwhile, Andre is trying to investigate what's going on with the woods. He has some clues about Sam, who is Golden Boy's brother, who is actually alive. And Kate rescues him at the last second before falling down to the ground and convulsing. That's where we left everybody. Also, there's Jordan, of course. Jordan is mainly pissed at this point about Marie moving up in the rankings, and wants Marie to tell the truth about how Jordan actually fought back against Golden Boy, but Marie lied on national television about it. So that's kind of where we have everybody. The last thing we should probably mention is Dean Shetty, who seems to be the mastermind behind everything that's going on here, or that is quickly becoming clearer, particularly in this episode. She has some shady loyalties. We don't know what's going on in the woods, but we find out a little bit more about it here.
Oh, the fucking woods, man.
The woods. Are we out of the woods, as Taylor Swift would say? We are not.
Oh, yes, that's right. Taylor Swift is wrong. Kelsey. She's wrong about this. Shouts to Travis Kelce.
Yeah. Now, lots of stuff goes down in this episode, but I wanted to throw one thing out at you guys.
Great use. Yeah, throw. Let's keep this going. I love it.
Yeah, there you go.
You mean football. Yeah.
Right at the top here. This isn't something that I'm necessarily concerned about per se, but this show, three episodes in, is showing the same sort of thing that I see in a lot of, like, college or school-based shows.
Oh boy,
where they're like, hey, we're set at a school, we're gonna show you a class for maybe 30 seconds. Other than that, they never go to class, and that's not what it's about.
Well, that's what college is, man. Nobody went to class, dude. The stuff that happens in class is not the thing you remember about college.
You went to Ithaca College. I went to Cornell University across the way, for the one for smart people. We went to class all the time. We never missed a class.
Sure you really remember
you and everybody.
That.
Yeah. Wow, big
week. But seriously though, like, I think the thing that I was missing
I want to watch people learn. I just want to see them in a room going, "You're right, Professor. I agree with that."
Yeah, I want to see.
Is that how school goes for you?
These episodes I feel like you've been out of school. There's plenty of time for a full lecture from a professor. That's what I want to see. I want
at the end of every class. At the end of every class, you were in P. You said, "Yes, professor, you are correct." And then you all walked out the door.
That's right. Yeah.
Single file. I don't know how you did things,
but that's how Ithaca did it.
Here's what I mean even more specifically about this is a lot of this is spent on the celebrity aspects that we've hit very well on the boys. Mm. And I think they do a good job here as well. There's a whole benefit for the hashtag.
Yeah, they didn't have galas at Cornell. They're fancy pants. Come on.
To me, I'm missing a bit of the college here in this episode. Like, we're not getting a frat party. We're not getting a sorority
party. Go fuck
party
yourself.
Like
you
this.
Miss the college. That's.
I'm sorry. I'm bringing up what I have as a legitimate criticism of this show three episodes in.
Here's what I'll throw to you, Alex. First off,
thank you, Professor.
What? Thank It's working. This has always been a class for you, Alex, run by two clearly substitute professors in Pete and I.
That's right.
Alex, you're saying this school is like, or this show is like school on Sunday, no class. That's what you're saying.
Oh, wow.
Second, I feel like it's on purpose. I feel like the point of this is, why do they have to go to class? What they actually need to learn is how to get to the top of the rankings, how to do a press conference. I think maybe it's a little intentional that the real education here is all of the bad things that they're doing and learning how this world works.
100%.
Yeah, get them, Justin. Get them.
Here's what I think. Again, not to keep driving home, we can move to the other stuff because generally, again, I like this and I'm enjoying the show. Is the original name for the show, I believe, was JV, like junior varsity, right? And we've talked a little bit about how they're kind of going for the celebrity thing, but they're also kind of going for the sports thing. I think what we're seeing here is like sports training camp, not college, you know, like they're being recruited potentially for the big leagues. That's what I'm getting out of this episode in particular. What I want to see is a little bit more of, if you're setting it at college, let's see it act like a college, whether that means class, whether that means frat parties, whether that means something. I just don't have a sense of how this school works yet. We went from orientation to the first day to a gala,
Free for all. All right.
I bet we're going to get that. Real quick, Pete, what you're saying is you want where celebrity and sports meet, which is Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. Shouts to Pete.
Right. Yeah.
And I think the second thing you're saying is this show is like school on Monday, all class.
Yeah. Okay. By the way, did you guys know that nobody knew who Travis Kelce was before Taylor Swift?
Shut up. I know one person on this podcast who didn't, and his name's Alex Alvin.
It's very funny to me, actually, not to go on a side trip, but that everybody keeps doing where they're driving their boyfriends crazy. I was like, I legitimately had no idea who he was.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's insane on many levels.
Thank you, Professor Swift.
Stop. Oh, my God. All right. First off, this episode is awesome. I love this episode so much. I feel like this show really clicked in for me. I really am like, I get who people are. Also, we had to go see the woods. Enough of the talking in the fucking woods. Let's see the woods. So I'm sorry they didn't spend more time in class and learning how to be a superhero. They threw him into the shit already, which is what we want. Like, being a superhero is going to galas, doing shit you don't want to do. It's a whole thing. Anyways, I was very happy with this episode. I really feel like we spent enough time with characters and dealing with all the different kind of stuff that's going on. I really feel like this episode really clicked, and I was finally rooting for people and had like a side. I felt really good about this show moving forward as a whole. I was a little worried about what this show was going to be, but I feel like this really found its footing and kicked into gear for me on this app.
I mean, I think they really spread the story around amongst everybody. Got to touch everyone, get into some backstory.
Plus, people started talking and working together instead of just being assholes.
Yeah, and I think we found, like, we had the cliffhanger about, like, Kate going into that seizure, and then she comes back pretty, you know, without any sort of repercussions, it seems like, and is fully a major part of this cast, which is great. She's on the team.
Yeah.
But honestly, maybe this episode we can sort of walk through because it feels like there was a progression of things. Mm-hmm. We get this flashback.
Hold on. Before we get to that, I do want to just, so Pete and I are not fighting the entire episode, I do agree with you, Pete.
Good luck.
I think it's a really smart decision to come out and just show us the woods and get right into that directly. If this was a Netflix show, I feel like we'd be like, episode 8. Here's the woods, tune in next season, and instead they are barreling through the plot very quickly, so I agree with you on that. So, to walk through the episode, Justin?
Yeah, we get a little flashback to Sam. Gen V gave him power, but hurt his brain. We get to see prehensile dick in the backdrop.
Love sausage.
Love sausage. Yeah, it was an Easter dick.
Yes, it was an Easter dick. Which Easter dick,
are you
as
happy?
We all know.
You brought yourself for that one?
Goes Very. Down and then 3 days later rises back up.
Oh, wow, dude. Wow.
3 days. Tough
wow,
times.
Wow, man.
Yeah. But like, I don't know how to move forward from that.
Yeah, exactly. Just roll back the door and kind of
roll
just,
back
yeah.
the nut and the.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Easter dick rises up.
Getting into some real Jesus stuff over here.
Jesus, Alex. Please move forward.
This is about as much as I know about Jesus as Travis Kelce. So there you go.
What?
That is. I look forward to your Bible that you're releasing, Alex. It's going to be really good.
So, yeah, this is the facility that we got to see in The Boys. So I love on that note, like, this doesn't feel like lip service to The Boys. A lot of people, and I think very rightly so, have been calling it The Boys season 3.5, and it 100% feels like this. It feels like they took a bit of the lessons of extension from the MCU and used that here, where, granted, we haven't seen Homelander, we haven't seen Huey, we haven't seen Starlight or anything like that.
We saw the deep.
But yeah, it doesn't, again, it feels like it is very much part of this world. It exists in the world. There's repercussions there. It feels like an actual extension of the thing. And I love how they're working that stuff in.
Honestly, the way that we're seeing the guest stars and it's so close to that world, I bet we're going to get more guest stars in the final episode of this season. Mm. We might get a seven.
Like somebody gets, like Marie ends up on the seven and then she
Or there's some massive fight at the college and we get to see them all. There's some, at least some of them be there and Marie and others, Andre, join them for this fight. And then we see what falls out of that.
Yeah. But we do get to see these flashbacks, like you're saying. What do you think the point of those were, other than establishing Sam was at this facility and then Kate and Golden Boy were bummed about it?
Well, giving us a more on Golden Boy, we just lost Golden Boy. So seeing what he died for, seeing a little bit of his connection to everything that was going on, we're kind of still piecing that story together. So, yeah, it was nice to kind of get a little screen time with Golden Boy, even though we lost him. But yeah, I appreciated the fact that we're seeing the woods. We're also seeing a lot of Sam, and I do like what they're setting up, but with Sam's struggle, what he's going through, why he feels the way he does. But Sam and Emma, oh, I love them together. Magic.
Yeah, a little rom-com. And what I would argue is that maybe Sam is the true Golden Boy.
Ooh.
What do you mean by that?
I think he's like the Golden Boy that died felt like he had a little bit of imposter syndrome, or he was like, there was something going on with him where he just wasn't ready to be doing what he was doing, and he sort of crushed under the pressure and the loss of his brother and all of the bad stuff. While Sam feels like he's coming the other way. He's been through some real shit and is going to come out and be maybe the hero.
That brings up a good point. And punched his fist out of his mouth. That was
And how did you feel about the fist through the mouth thing? Because just from a
technical
point of view.
We saw that in the trailer.
View,
that was the in the teaser.
You're talking
got to
about
see
physically,
that.
Though? How does he do that? Like, he shows his guns, right? Like, he's like.
Nope.
I'm just saying, when
Which
I was watching.
Beach through your mouth.
Up through your butthole, I guess, and out your mouth. I just feel like as a little special effect, I was like, it almost worked. For me, it didn't quite. It was just a little like the mouth.
I thought it was fun. I mean, that's the boys' fun. Yeah. That's fun that you expect from
Justin's
the show.
Justin's just saying, I love the visual. Justin's just saying physically, how do you punch up and then out of somebody's mouth?
Yeah, I just don't know how his arm would have to be like stretchy or something.
Again. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's got a stretchy arm.
Which way to the beach? Up your butt.
Oh, wow. I like how you're really flexing, Alex, and trying to make
it
happen.
He really is flexing. I know. Yeah. I feel like his fist is coming out of my mouth.
For anybody listening on the podcast, I got one of those droopy cartoon muscles where I try to make a muscle that is the opposite of it.
We got three pre-spinach Popeyes on this podcast. Noodle arms. all the way down.
I know yourself, we're jumping around all yourself. Over the place when you wanted to walk through it, but can we talk about the rom-com stuff? I want to hear from our rom-com expert, Pete, because we got two couples bubbling up this episode. Not only do we have Sam and Emma, we also have Kate and Andre, who kiss and have a bit of an intercourse situation, as she refers
to. Yes, funny an intercourse situation.
Because and that was great. I really love that moment because you really feel Kate, you know what I mean? Like, you feel like, oh, yeah, we've all said things and been like, oh, my God, why did you say that? And that was great because she does feel very untouchable on purpose with the gloves and their powers and everything. And so it was nice to kind of see her a little bit more vulnerable when it comes to that stuff. But again, you're trying to root for Andre, but he was kind of a dick. And so it's like, I hope that maybe.
Why was he a dick?
Because he was like, yo, I'm out. Because she was like, I want to talk about the. Yeah, it was like, you know, he could have been a little nicer when she wanted to talk.
Well, and as your rom-com eye, Pete, precious rom-com eye, which of these two couples do you feel like has the better chance of going all the way?
You're pulling for Sam and Emma. You know, I mean, they seem like the real main kind of, because both of them you're rooting for. You know what I mean? Whereas Andre, you've seen him skirt a lot of different things. You're not sure if he's going to really kind of be the hero you want him to be. And you're not sure about Kate yet. So, but as it stands now, Sam and Emma are the it couple. We'll see as the season goes on if that fluctuates.
I would even argue that maybe Andre.
It's hard when you finish talking and then a cricket starts. So
is that a cricket?
Yeah.
Maybe Andre doesn't live through the whole season.
Whoa!
Only why say would speculation. You think that?
Yeah. I don't know. There's some sort of bad vibe over that couple.
Well, I think. So what you might be picking up on is, contrary to what Pete's saying, he's the one character who really wants to be heroic. A lot of that seems to be coming from pushing against his father, Polarity, who is very much doing the living.
But that's what I'm worried about. He's just doing it as an FU to his dad. I don't really know.
I don't think that's completely, like, that's definitely, his dad is very clearly trying to live vicariously through him. That's 100% what's going on.
There's a lot of things going on with his dad. I mean, I don't know if I'd say that was the only thing, but okay, all right, I hear you.
Sure. Well, the other thing that's going on is he's doing, like, the shaky shoulder dance from Save the Last Dance, right, Pete? You know what I'm talking about.
Ooh, nice. Oh, what are you guys talking about?
Sean Patrick Thomas from Save the Last Dance. He did the dance. I can't do it. I look like I'm a Muppet walking, trying to walk.
You do
right
look
now.
Like a Muppet walking. That's Alex. That's a perfect description of you.
You're very active on this. You've been flexing. Now you're doing a Muppet walk.
Yeah.
What's next?
Just trying to move my body, man.
I just want to say,
gotta get those steps in. If I can't do it during our podcast, when can I do it?
You're right, Professor. Okay, give me that body.
So he's pushing against that, and I do think there's a sense of like, no, I'm going to be a hero where my dad isn't being a hero, but at the same time. He goes to his dad in this episode and says, listen, there's some bad stuff going down. You got to help me, which is when he finds out his dad knows everything about this, of course. And
I think
by extension,
pull in, you know, kind of whisper in your ear. Ooh, that was
it's a great moment. But I think that's the thing that drives home for me is that Andre is trying to do the right thing. It's not just all about his dad.
You were the one. You broke my heart.
That's part of it. That's part of his motivation there. But also a large part of his motivation is his best friend died in a fiery explosion. He doesn't know why, and he wants to do the right thing and find out.
And he had to rip
it.
Open the dick of a statue to get the information. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. That was last episode.
He's been through a lot. It's my point.
Pete, I don't remember seeing a dick in there, just so we're clear.
He ripped open a crotch of a statue. Don't say like that didn't happen.
You make it sound like there was an actual bunch of organs underneath there, and it's just what. Just so you know, statues don't have body parts underneath what you see.
Well, the thing that you didn't get to see, you got to watch.
Where would you say the secret was hidden? Then
you got to watch the Amazon X-ray thing because they tell you that he opened up the crotch, and then 3 days later, the dick cried out.
Yeah, exactly. Whoa. It was safely trapped within the pelvis. Is that the secret?
Yes. Anyway, my point to wrap it back up to what Justin was saying, I think if Andre right now, at least in my opinion, is the clearest hero on the show, that puts him in prime position to either turn bad or get
something
killed
bad happen. Yeah, bad vibes. Well, and while we're talking,
it's definitely not the clearest hero.
Who do you think it is?
What do you have against Andre? I don't get it.
Yeah.
Emma's the clearest hero.
Really?
She's sacrificing herself to go say Sam, person she doesn't even know. I mean, come on!
Do you identify with her because she's high? Is that what's going on?
Who cares if she's high? She's still doing it. That's not like she wouldn't not do it.
Here, this is the thing. I don't trust Emma because she smokes marijuana, which we all know.
Hey.
Right, Pete?
Whatever, Cornell.
Yeah, you're radiating extreme narc energy.
We never used any drugs. We all went to class on time, but we never used any.
Sounds fun.
Yeah,
it was very fun.
It was very fun because we learned and prepared ourselves for the workforce.
Yeah, you're doing great.
How nice we all ended up in the same podcast.
Yeah, exactly. You're not.
How nice. I'm sitting in my basement talking about a superhero show.
Yeah. I think yes, we all succeeded in different ways.
A superhero show for teens.
That's a lot of our programming.
I don't know why you're Emma's hating on teens.
I'm hating on myself.
I'm self-hating, which is what motivates me to be a podcast hero. Take it away, Justin.
I was going to say, Emma had quite a journey. We met her momager, not nice mom.
Yeah. Ooh.
If she's the hero, she definitely is sort of going through her own version of the woods and that her mom sucks.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
But wasn't it last episode where you said her name like Kimberly Bimberly or whatever it was, and then they said her name. It was so funny, and I immediately thought of you, Justin.
No,
you called
Courtney Fortney.
Courtney Fortney is who she is. Yeah, we're talking with the mom. I loved how much she loved the drama, the back and forth between the mom and daughter. She was like, "This is going to be great TV." It was hilarious.
Both her and Jeff are such great characters.
Yes.
Like Jeff having the whole ribbon conversation. Where they're trying to pin down the color for the ribbon. I love both of them.
Yeah, I want to see both of them end up on The Boys with Ashley. That
what was that?
What just happened?
Just to say what happened.
Oh,
Alex is in the middle. We record this podcast on Zoom. Alex is talking, and his little rectangle filled with balloons.
What was that?
I don't know.
Was that?
Did you do that?
No, I didn't press anything.
I was talking to Justin.
That's very weird.
That is very weird.
Oh my God, I've never seen that before. That was so funny.
What was I even saying? On some sort of clown
setting?
I have
no idea.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe it's the first time I've logged onto Zoom during my birthday month. So they're like, hey, happy birthday.
It's also my birthday month, and I got nothing.
Oh, man.
Oh, you guys were born the same month.
Yeah. Probably the same age. I would love to see them working with Ashley.
Balloons.
A trio. That would be very fun. But the main thing that I wanted to say about Emma's storyline while I try to get back on track after that weird balloon thing is I liked how they approached the story in a relatively understated way. Like, I think there's a very histrionic way this could happen on a show where her mother completely traumatized her. Emma is fighting back about that. They have a big, tearful confrontation at some point. Instead, they underplayed it, and I think laudably so, where the mom clearly put her in a place where, like she says, she taught her to throw up. I think we're getting closer and closer to the fact that whether Emma thinks it or not, she does have an eating disorder that at least was in part encouraged by her mother, but
yeah,
Emma is dealing with it and she's living with it, which is what I think.
I'm really hoping the show is going to deal with it in a cool way where like Emma comes to some understanding and ability to deal with her kind of, you know what I mean? But it's a very tough situation for her mom and her, and the back and forth between them. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but I'm really enjoying it. I don't know why I identify with it or like it so much, but it's very fun.
Well, because I think it's realistic. Like, we don't have these dramatic confrontations with her parents. On the opposite edge of the spectrum, we have what's going on with Jordan this episode with their parents.
And her parents shows
yeah.
up.
Yeah.
And Jordan, we meet initially, is having very hilarious sex in their dorm room. Parents show up. Parents only see Jordan as male, as a boy, or at least the father does.
Well, you should say Jordan is having sex with the guy's female. The guy, like, fully Kitty Pryde's out of the room.
Very funny.
And then everybody starts Jordan
screaming
transforms.
In the next room. That's
great.
It's very funny.
Yeah. Very funny sequence. But we do get a little bit of a showdown there at the party where Jordan transforms from boy form to girl form and confronts their father about this. That is the sort of thing, and again, I think, like, this is fine, but that's the sort of thing I would expect from a drama, that sort of scene where the father is struggling with it and doesn't accept who Jordan is. Jordan is confronting their father about it, versus the way the Emma scene is played, which I thought had a different layers to it and different nuance. So I'm glad we didn't have both of those things at the same time. They gave them different variables, and that's not easy to do.
Yeah, and I also – it felt real as far as, like, what they're both struggling with and kind of the parents' reaction. And so, like, yeah, I was kind of – for this insane, like, dick comedy show, you know, the fact that they're kind of doing a pretty good job of, like, not sugarcoating how rough it is for people to deal with this, you know, a little bit of a tip of the hat, because it's, like – good for you. This is nice, you know.
Well, and I do think it's handled, both these separate issues are handled in, like, just a way of pushing the story forward and the character. Like, it's not really dwelling on it for, like,
it's not preachy, it's not, yeah, it's over, not gimmicky, the top.
It feels,
it's
very
not, yeah,
it's
it feels very,
well very
kind of like, yeah, like, okay, this father wants his son and he doesn't understand why his kid just won't be his son, and you know, the kid's like, why the fuck do I gotta be who you want to be, why can't I be me? It's good. It feels very real, so it's nice.
Yeah, I mean, to just say one last thing about this and then we can move on. Maybe we'll talk about Marie next. We haven't talked about her.
Great
really.
Choice. Great
Thank
choice.
You
yeah,
very
let's
much.
Talk about Marie.
Well, hold on. The last thing that I wanted to say about this is the way this show, we talked about this over the past couple of episodes, the way this show is tackling issue-driven storylines is a much more modern perspective on it, I think, like you guys are saying, where non-binary is a thing that is, and right. eating disorders is something people live with and deal with. And we didn't really deal with the self-harm too much this episode, but same sort of thing. It's something
we talked about it,
that it isn't solved with a conversation with your parents and then you move on and you grow from that, like how existed on teen dramas even today, like 5, 10, forever. Exactly. This is dealing with it in a more, yeah, this is something that we are open about, we talk about, we understand that this is a thing of the world, it doesn't need to be a dark, nasty secret, and we're just going to deal with it and then figure out how we can get better from the things we need to get better from, accept the things that we need to accept, and move on from there. So, again, very laudable. Yeah, Pete.
Speaking of Marie, they kind of have that confrontation where Marie kind of says something to Emma, and Emma's like, you cut yourself. You know what I mean? Like, very much kind of like to throw it back in her face. But Marie is
great. Because Marie finds Emma very too small.
Yeah, like, way too small. Like, having to fight off ants and stuff, which is, you know, she's gone too far.
Real quick, do you think, who would win in a fight, you or an ant? Pete?
Ooh, I mean, that's tough. I don't know how big I am. Do I have the strength of a full-grown me, or is it, you know what I mean?
No, like, it's
I don't
just know you. All the it's just you, the way you are now, versus an ant.
Oh, a regular.
I can take it.
You can win?
Yeah.
Now, would it be easier if you were small or the ant was big? and you were fighting the ant.
Ooh, if the ant was big and the ant has that kind of like 8-time body strength, that might be a real confrontation. But anyways, I do like the choices that Marie.
Real quick, just to follow up, fuck, marry, kill. An ant, another ant, or a third ant. Go ahead.
Yeah. An ant, your great aunt, or
just don't
ant man.
Ant man.
Anyways, I think Marie.
That'd be delightful. Married to Paul Rudd? What a delight. Every day would be a joy.
Marie, in this episode, is making great decisions. I really like the choices that she's making. She's kind of owning the fact that she fucked up before when she was kind of cornered. So it was nice to see her and Jordan kind of connect and talk a little bit. And there was a funny moment where they were all sharing. And then Jordan was like, I killed my grandma. And they were like, no, you didn't. She was like, yeah, but I was feeling left out. You know, like nice. I like that. The fact that they were all finally in the same room, talking to each other, sharing. It was just very powerful and cool. And I also think that's a big part of college is getting to know other people, their issues and what they're going through.
That's true. They were coming together as in your face. How's that for college? Like, people getting to know each other.
So I'm sorry. You're saying you talk to people in college?
That's right.
Now we're getting somewhere.
It doesn't seem right now to me.
You were a mime the whole time when you were in school. We had so much time for class. And they come together as a team at the end.
Yes.
And I really like that, and that's really setting up a lot going forward. How about Kate's story in that section, which was devastating, about her brother who she pushed, coerced, and then he was gone. Like, that was just such a small chunk, but man, that really left a mark.
That, to me, drove home something that I can't remember whether we've talked about on the podcast yet, but in the original Boys comics, these characters actually, but like this general idea started as a thing called the G-Men that was led by a guy called Professor Godalkin, which was a parody of the X-Men.
Yeah.
None of the characters are related to any of these other characters, really, for the most part. But it seems like they took that idea, that germ of an idea, and pushed that forward into, particularly now we have Marie's story is straight up at 13 trauma, getting your mutant powers story. Kate's story feels like that as well. It's the same sort of thing as like classic X-Men, classic mutant stuff. And I love that. Like, I think that's a great space for this show to live in.
Also, Marie's story is about like the fact that, you know, what's going to happen with her sister. You know what I mean? There is that kind of classic story, but she has this separation for her sister of like, we don't know how her sister feels about her. And, you know, so we got to go.
I'd also throw out there that we don't know what happened to Kate's brother. That feels like he could have died possibly, but there's also, he could be out there somewhere. Like, that's a dangling plotline that I think is too good to not follow up in some way. Maybe not this season. Maybe if it gets a second season or something like that. But you don't just say like, oh, my brother went out in the woods and I never saw him again and not have him show up at some point.
Yeah. And maybe the sister, maybe that's a good like thing to we'll hit on later in the season. Just continue to talk about Marie, though. Let me just set this rule. Anytime you're getting chocolate pancakes from someone, they're trying to screw you. They're coming for you somehow.
Yeah.
So that's how you know the Dean's bad.
I'm going to do a little caveat to that rule. It's if the chocolate chips are exterior to the pancake. If the chocolate chips are interior to the pancake, no problem. You're good to go.
Interesting.
But putting like the chocolate chips on afterwards, weird.
Wow. Yeah, that's just gilding the lilies.
What that is. That's just lazy.
Well, pancakes are good. Why do you need to put chocolate on top? That's like, have you ever heard of this thing called a s'more? It's just too much. Marshmallows are fine, and chocolate's fine. Why don't you put it all together?
No, you need the graham cracker for the sandwich bar so you can eat it and enjoy yourself. What are you talking
about? It's very
about?
Funny to me, after all these years, I know exactly what will bait Pete into being outraged. And coming out against s'mores, easy.
Food is a big trigger for me,
Pete,
buddy.
So never watch a movie called The Menu. You'll hate it.
I won't watch it. I will not watch it. Anyways, listen, speaking of baiting me, I love the shout out from, Jordan's parents who might hate him, but they're from Rochester. So speaking of food and just shout out to Garbage Plates and the Ra-Cha-Cha getting a shout out in the episode.
I don't know if all those words were said in this episode, but sure. But that's
well,
nice.
They did say they were from Rochester. We don't know if they're talking about Minnesota or New York, but you know, I'm a here my city. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Nice,
absolutely.
I really like the scene also with Marie and the Dean when they're getting all those cards. The line, "Scan this QR code for an NFT of my card." Such a great joke. Again, this show just crushes in all the joke departments.
What do we think is going on with Dean Shetty at this point? What are your best theories about?
She's a horrible person, is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Good theory.
Well, the thing is, it's just the boys did such a good job of being like, that's the villain. It's like, no, it's not. They're someone you have to feel sorry for because they're dealing with this. The villain is this person. I feel like we might get a twist here. And
really?
Dean Shetty's actually trying to put together a team of people to like help expose this, or she's somehow, you know, and she was talking to Ashley, and you know, there's something there. She's in a power position.
Thank you. She was talking to Ashley. So it's not good for us.
It's not good, but I do feel like we're going to get something that is a turn for her. And she's not just some like goatee twirling villain.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, let me throw this out there. Her name is Dean Shetty. She's acting like a mother to Marie. She's kind of like a Ma Shetty. Maybe she's Danny Trejo.
Wow.
Oh. Wow.
Now that's just a theory.
It's when you go to class, those are the ideas you come up with when you go to all your classes.
Yeah.
While we're still talking about Marie a little bit, I just wanted to say the moment with Emma where she was like, shh, let it happen, was kind of enjoyable.
I did love how Emma and Marie settled their stuff.
Yes.
The scene we're talking about. That did, in all seriousness, feel very college to me. Like, you get into a spat with your roommate, and then something happens where you're like, yeah, whatever. It's no big deal. We're friends. We're best friends, actually.
We're best friends. I'll help you pee. I'll lift your dress.
And Emma, the whole thing, I know it was in the trailer, but the get it, got it good, very funny when she's sneaking in. All of the scenes, I know, Pete, you talked about it a little bit, but Sam and Emma do have good chemistry. And Sam is very sweet. I also love... And, you know, talking about Ant-Man, but like, I love the size changing effect. I think they're doing a really good job of making that look good.
It's good.
And the thing at the end where she jumps through the guy's ear and crawls through his brain.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
So fucked up.
Disgusting.
Grossest thing possible they did there.
Yeah.
I love she coming out sort of coughing and like, whew, that was great. Before that, I love the sort of reverse. We always get that question test where it's like, tell me the thing you know about me that only you would know. And we get the reverse where he's like, tell me the thing you know. And she's like, I don't know you, dude. I thought that was a really good use of a cliche on its head. And especially the like, well, you're a white guy. It must be Godfather, Star Wars, or Shawshank.
Yeah.
Great. And then the fact that he said Waterworld is such a great fourth movie to say. Just really, really great writing all across the board there.
Yeah.
Yeah, agreed.
I would also want to call out during the Remembering Brink montage that they have at the benefit, the shots of the deep in particular, where it's like they got them at Sears, those pictures or something. Yeah. Very funny.
So the deep saying, rest in peace, Brosif, was just, oh my God.
Just so good.
Yeah.
One other thing about that, right around that moment, when Kate gets them the good vodka, I was like, just get the regular vodka. It's the same. It's all the same.
Yeah. What are you talking? It's just potato vodka. Water. It's dirty potato water.
Holy shit. No.
Got you again, Pete. Easy.
Stop.
So easy.
Stop.
I feel like that might be my V power, is to be like, Kate pushes other people. I push Pete. I can only push Pete. But anyway, I do agree, though, that all vodka is the same. You don't
stop saying that.
I was a bartender for so long.
That's not true. You should know that it's not true if you were a real bartender.
If I served you three different vodkas, shook them up, chilled them,
poured them out, you couldn't tell the difference. Yes, I can.
100%.
I drink vodka for a living, motherfucker.
If I ever see you in person again, we're going to do that.
That's right.
How much do you get paid for that?
The vodka.
None. I get to live.
Not for long, man.
That's a good point.
Any other notes from the episode? Any other things anybody wants to call out?
I have a beanbag. That was fun. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Overall, just very fun episode of the show. Before we wrap up here, who was best boy? Pete, who was your best boy of the episode?
This is tough. I mean, Marie killed it. Emma killed it. I was really happy with Sam. Oh, man. I'm going to give it to Emma.
Mm-hmm. Nice. I got to give it up for our guy, Sam. Welcome to the party. Looking forward to see your come up. Get out of the woods. Are you out of the woods? No, because you're with Emma now. She's the Taylor Swift of the show.
That's right.
There you go.
I agree with both of those, but I'll throw it out to Marie. We didn't really talk much about her stuff with Dean Shetty, but I thought there was an interesting arc for her here that Jess and Claire played really well in terms of selling herself completely at this benefit, and that moment towards the end when she doesn't get to say anything and Dean Shetty's just like, look at her over there. Isn't she great? Smile, Marie. And she starts to realize, oh, wait a second. I'm being used right now.
Yeah.
There was a nice, very subtle turn in that acting that I liked a lot. And I think I hope we're going to get that thing where she was doing Refusal the first couple of episodes. Now she's going to turn and start to become the hero that we want her to be in the
second. She is absolutely a fantastic actress. I love all the choices that she's making. It's really awesome to see.
Great stuff. If you'd like to support this podcast and all the podcasts we do, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Facebook and YouTube. Come hang out. We would love to chat with you about the boys and Gen V. Apple, Spotify, Android, or the app of your choice to subscribe, listen, and follow the show at Comic Book Live on Twitter/X, Comic Book Club Live on TikTok and Instagram, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, I'm going to go see my hearing doctor and make sure I can hear it for those boys.
I just don't know why Reese's Pieces are even a candy. Am I right, Pete?
I want to be sedated.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.